Usually when a government writes a rule book, it's for something, well, highly predictable, like traffic laws or tax
Bet
codes.
you stop at a red light, you go on green.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But what happens when a government tries to write a strict binary rule book for a living, breathing ecosystem?
Well, you get a legal framework that has to account for literally everything from unpredictable weather patterns to, migrating birds. And that is exactly what we are looking at today for you. We're doing a deep dive into South Africa's National Environmental Management Biodiversity Act of 2004.
Okay, let's unpack this because the sheer scale of this act is, I mean, it's massive.
Oh, it really is. It goes way beyond a simple warning not to chop down a rare tree.
Right.
It basically attempts to establish a comprehensive operational manual for an entire nation's ecology.
And the centerpiece of this manual is the creation of the South African National Biodiversity Institute, or SNBI, right?
Yeah, SNBI. And they don't just run botanical gardens. They act as a central nervous system for conservation data.
Like tracking the performance of everything.
Exactly. Actively monitoring the health of ecosystems across the country, and even legally reporting on the environmental impacts of things like genetically modified organisms released into the wild.
So, wait, SNBI is functioning less like a traditional nature conservation group and more like, I don't know, a strict corporate auditor combined with a patent office for nature.
Yeah, that's actually a great way to look at it.
Like they are actively cataloging the nation's biological assets.
They are, though it's even more rigorous than a standard financial audit.
Yeah.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, the act mandates that these biological assets are categorized by their specific threat levels.
So like a ranking system.
Right, a legal spectrum ranging from vulnerable to critically endangered. By passing this into law, the government isn't just suggesting these ecosystems be saved, it creates a binding obligation for the state to actually manage their survival.
But, I mean, you can't successfully manage or audit those assets without identifying the liabilities dragging them down,
Right.
which explains why the Act takes such an aggressive stance against uninvited species.
Oh, absolutely. The law makes a really crucial distinction here to identify those liabilities. You have your alien species, which is just a plant or animal that isn't native to South Africa.
Okay.
But then an invasive species, well, that's one that is actively spreading and harming the local environment or human health.
Right.
And because of that act of harm, the act imposes a strict duty of care on citizens.
Wait, really? Does that mean a landowner is fully liable for an invasive plant on their property? Like, what if a bird just happened to drop a seed there and they had absolutely nothing to do with planting it?
Yeah, they are liable. I mean, the law states that once you know an invasive species is on your land, you actually have to notify the authorities in writing and take immediate steps to eradicate it.
Wow. And what if they simply ignore it?
Well, the government has the authority to issue a directive. They can bring in their own teams to clear the invasive species from your land and then literally send you the bill for the entire operation.
You're kidding.
Nope. The mechanism works because it forces private landowners to become active, financially invested participants in national conservation.
I mean, that is a massive enforcement tool. But eradicating invasive species is a huge financial drain. Protecting the native species, on the other hand, is where the economics flip.
Yes, exactly.
Here's where it gets really interesting. The Act aggressively protects the immense financial value of these native assets through its rules on bioprospecting.
Right, so bioprospecting is the commercial research of indigenous biological resources. Historically, foreign pharmaceutical or cosmetic companies could come into a biodiverse country, extract a native plant, and just leave.
Like what kind of plant?
Say something traditionally used by local communities, like the Hoodia succulent for appetite suppression. They'd patent the active ingredient and take all the profits offshore.
Leaving the local environment and the communities who actually discovered its uses with basically nothing.
Precisely. So, to stop that historical exploitation, this act mandates a fair and equitable sharing of benefits.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah, a corporation literally cannot commercialize an indigenous biological resource without a formal agreement, one that maps out exactly how royalties will flow back to the state or those local stakeholders.
See, that makes perfect sense for a physical plant or animal. You harvest the leaf, you pay a royalty.
Yeah, but what's fascinating here is how the law anticipates modern biotechnology. It doesn't just protect the physical leaf,
Yeah.
it protects the underlying IP of nature.
The intellectual property of the plant.
Exactly. The genetic sequence itself is fiercely guarded. The law is written so broadly that even if a company takes a non-native alien plant but genetically alters it using DNA extracted from a South African indigenous species,
Oh, wow.
yeah, that new lab-created hybrid is suddenly heavily regulated.
So the government is essentially tracking indigenous DNA, even when it's spliced into a completely foreign species in a lab across the world. They've legally copyrighted the genetic code of their own ecology.
That's exactly what they've done.
So what does this all mean? For you listening, I mean, this isn't just an environmental policy. It treats a country's ecology like a highly protected sovereign wealth fund.
Right. It's a legal framework that monetizes and defends everything from the dirt on the ground to microscopic strands of DNA. It replaces that old idea of nature as a free, infinite resource
Yeah.
and replaces it with a system where biological heritage is a strictly managed, highly valuable national asset.
Which leaves us with a final thought to mull over. If a nation can successfully claim legal rights to the microscopic genetic potential of a single rare leaf, who truly owns the medical cures of tomorrow that are currently hiding inside today's endangered ecosystems?